August is here, and it has that Sunday of summer kind of feeling. It's a moment to slow down, reset, and prepare for the busy fall season. And a great place to start with that transition is with your wardrobe. There's no better place to do that than Quince. Their clothing is a reminder that you don't need to crowd your closet with endless new pieces. You just need the right high-quality essentials. Quince specializes in effortless staples, from organic cotton t-shirts to Mongolian cashmere sweaters. I personally recommend their washable silk slip dress. Pair it with a blazer for work, then wear it straight out to dinner. Everything Quince makes is priced 50 to 80% less than similar luxury labels because they partner directly with ethical factories, cutting out the middleman markup entirely. And it's not just apparel. Quince brings that same affordability to hotel quality bedding, plush bath towels, and sleek home staples. Upgrade your everyday with Quince. Download the Quince app for app-exclusive offers or go to quince.com/campus. Get free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and the UK too. That's quince.com/campus.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
For fans of college football, the end of 2025 was dominated by one story: the shocking departure of Ole Miss head coach Lane Kiffin. Kiffin was already a controversial figure, and there are many college football fans who will tell you that this was Lane Kiffin doing what Lane Kiffin does. But the truth is a little more complicated. And while Kiffin's move is consistent with his track record, it also points to a seismic shift. College sports have been professionalized, dragging student athletes and coaching staff into a faster-paced, high-dollar domain. These changes have corrected some historic wrongs around player compensation, but they've also led to clashes between fans and the people they root for. Few people in the college football world better exemplify this shift than Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin. Lane
Kiffin. I'm Ian Mont. This week on Campus Files, Missing Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin's dramatic college football career. I'm a bit embarrassed to say that I grew up in Texas and somehow managed to learn basically nothing about football. I don't watch the games, I don't really know who plays for which team, and as I've recently learned, even college football fans are having a hard time keeping track of who plays for which team. It has to do with something called the transfer portal. Suffice it to say, I needed a guide to help me understand this story, and fortunately, I found one.
I'm Nicole Auerbach. My dad's joke is that daylight savings in the fall is our family holiday, so Auerbach, easy to remember that way. And I'm the lead college football insider for NBC Sports.
Nice. That's a good dad joke.
It's like the ultimate.
Nicole has been covering college sports for more than a decade, and lately she can be seen on NBC Sports talking college football.
Hello, welcome back to Rushing the Field, presented by Xfinity. He's Joshua Perry. I'm Nicole Auerbach. And five unbeaten teams go down in week eight. It started Friday night with Miami, but it was...
And last season was a standout one in many ways. And part of that centered around one particular head coach.
For people, you know, honestly, including myself, who don't follow college football that closely, who is Lane Kiffin?
Lane Kiffin is a coach that's had many lives. He was something of a wunderkind early in his career. He's been labeled an offensive genius. He has been a troll on social media. He's been many things. And he's been a head coach at some of the most prominent programs in college football. He's been an NFL head coach. He's also had a history of leaving places in very ugly and public ways. So he's kind of been, the best way I can compare it to people who don't follow sports super closely, is he would make a really great character on Real Housewives. Like he brings drama, he lives drama.
If you search Lane Kiffin highlights on YouTube, you will find plenty of examples of what Nicole is describing.
Michigan, Alabama, you broke down a lot of Penn State film. You've seen Michigan, you know Alabama inside and out. Who do you think wins out here?
Well, I wasn't ready for that question. I mean, those are two great teams, two great coaches, but I mean, come on, Herb Street, that's a setup, so.
Come on.
Roll Tide.
And aside from being good TV, he's also got an excellent track record as a coach. And that's what we're talking about this week. This story is more about the sport of football than any other episode we've covered. But even if you're not a college football fan, it's worth understanding this story because Lane Kiffin is emblematic of the way college sports are changing and the way colleges are defined by their sports programs, sometimes more than anything else.
I think it's good to go back to his early career. His ascendancy in the coaching world seemed like it was very fast in his early career.
Well, his dad was a longtime NFL defensive coordinator and someone that, you know, a lot of coaches respected. So he, I think, was a defensive quality control coach at one point. But he's made his mark on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, again, I think it is a testament to him how quickly he rose up the ranks. He gained this reputation of, you know, this offensive genius and the architect behind some of these great offenses that we certainly saw, you know, playing for national championships.
Kiffin's coaching career really began in 2001 at USC. He was brought on as a tight end coach, but by 2005, he was running multiple parts of the program, including recruiting. By the age of 30, Kiffin was part of an incredible run for USC.
Way to really combat it.
Hey, the Trojans, how about the Trojans?
It's their success at the collegiate level, number one.
11 national championships.
These were kind of the glory days for USC. I mean, USC was a powerhouse. When people talk about USC as a blue blood in the sport, or, you know, can USC get back to national relevance? Like, they're thinking about those years in the early 2000s with Pete Carroll. It was just such a factory of sending guys to the NFL, but the glitz and the glamour, all of that was there. And so that was the time that Lane Kiffin was there as an assistant, Steve Sarkisian. Like, they really made their names with those teams because they were just the biggest thing in town. And they were always kind of, you know, super nationally relevant, competing for championships.
Many of college football's coaching greats came out of those years at USC. And with Lane Kiffin's ascendancy, he was given a chance to jump from college coaching to the NFL.
I turned the Raiders into the finest organization in sports. 8 division titles, 7 conference title games.
That's Al Davis, the late owner of the Oakland Raiders. He had a knack for finding up-and-coming coaching talent, including John Madden. And in 2007, he hired then 31-year-old Lane Kiffin as the head coach for the Raiders. The first time Kiffin had ever been a head coach.
He was always looking to do things a little bit differently, but hiring Lane Kiffin when he had never been a head coach and had barely worked in the NFL was a pretty risky move. But again, you're looking for guys that can be the next great thing. You're looking for that offensive wunderkind who's going to suddenly, like, you're going to look like a genius, right? If this works out.
But that's not exactly how it played out, is it?
His tenure in the NFL did not go well. I have some quotes because Al Davis was never afraid to say what he was thinking. But even by that standard, the way that he treated his firing of Lane Kiffin was...
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Lane Kiffin was fired after less than 2 years on the job. Al Davis held a now famous press conference to explain his decision.
I start by saying it's a regretful day, very much so.
It was really explosive at the time. It still is, even if you go back and look at the quotes and the comments now. Al Davis said that he was embarrassed. He said that Lane Kiffin disgraced the Raiders. He said he thinks he conned him. Like, he completely regretted hiring Lane Kiffin in the first place.
He's got to do his job and stop complaining every day that he doesn't have this, he doesn't have that. Well, it's not a personality conflict. It's flat out accusation, lying, bringing disgrace to the organization. It hurts because I picked the guy. I picked the wrong guy.
I mean, it was clear that we're talking about oil and water there, but it was the first of many, I would say, not graceful exits for Lane Kiffin. Like, this was front page news and a really embarrassing ordeal for him to be aired out like that. I mean, this was an owner who really wanted to air out dirty laundry and called a press conference and did just that, and basically could not have torched someone's reputation in football any clearer.
Yet he ends up as a head coach at Tennessee.
Lane Kiffin gets a lot of second chances in his career.
The University of Tennessee gave Lane Kiffin a lifeline in the form of another head coaching position.
And from a football standpoint, again, there is growth in year one, and you're feeling pretty good about it. No one is thinking that Lane Kiffin is going to leave after one season. From a school that gave him a chance after he'd been embarrassed by the Raiders, you gave him this lifeline to come back into college football, into the SEC, to be a head coach again, and then they get the rug pulled out from under them. And that is the second very toxic exit that Lane Kiffin has.
And for the second time in 2 years, Lane Kiffin found himself on incredibly bad terms with his former team.
And then the fans revolt, and they're protesting. They're very upset that he's leaving after 1 year, because this is college football. You don't leave after 1 year. All I said is great.
Tuesday night, UT students spray painted the name Lane on the campus rock, along with a variety of other four-letter words, all directed at the head football coach who announced he will vacate the Vols after just one season.
We really hate Lane Kiffin.
Kiffin left for USC, a return to the site of his early glory days. And this time, he's the head coach.
He's making what I would imagine in his eyes is a triumphant return to his old stomping grounds as head coach now, but his arrival at USC is timed with these notable and controversial sanctions for Reggie Bush.
When Lane Kiffin comes back to USC, it is one of the most interesting and pivotal moments in USC history because they are staring down sanctions, NCAA sanctions tied to Reggie Bush.
Reggie Bush is one of the best college football players of all time. He played running back for USC with Kiffin during their glory days. But shortly after winning the Heisman Trophy, rumors surfaced that his family had received gifts related to his play, a violation of NCAA policy at the time. A 4-year NCAA investigation followed.
Lane Kiffin gets there, and then they get hit with the sanctions.
USC received one of the most controversial punishments in NCAA history. It included a 2-year postseason ban. They lost 30 scholarships and vacated all wins where Bush played, including a championship game.
So you're dealing with all of this. Like, this cloud of uncertainty has become certain, but it's a dark cloud because of all of these punishments. So Lane Kiffin is trying to manage all of this.
In spite of the sanctions, though, Kiffin and USC find remarkable success in the next two seasons. But the sanctions take their toll over time. Players want to play in the playoffs, and the postseason ban led many solid players to transfer out. By 2012, his third season at USC, things were beginning to slip. The following year, fans were turning on Kiffin. In the last few minutes of the second game of the season, USC fans began to chant, "Fire Kiffin." Kiffin won the next two games, but the following against Arizona State proved pivotal.
So we're in late September 2013. USC's lost their first two conference games of the season. They're 4-7 in their last 11 games. It's not trending in the right direction. They get blown out by Arizona State, 62-41.
According to reporting, USC's head of athletics met with USC's president during the third quarter of the game and decided to fire Kiffin. That night, the team flies back to LA from Arizona, and as they're all sitting on the bus about to head back to campus, Lane Kiffin gets called off the bus at 3 in the morning.
Lane Kiffin famously gets fired on the tarmac. He's talked about this over the years. He has tweeted, like, hashtag 3 a.m. LAX. Like, he has addressed this before. And so the team leaves without him, and he has to figure out his way home. So this is one of the most famous college football firings in the sport's history. It was one where you remember waking up the next day and wondering, what? How did that happen? It happened at 3 a.m. It happened on the tarmac. Like, it didn't sound true.
For those keeping score at home, that makes 3 messy departures in a row. But here again, Kiffin gets a second chance. The University of Alabama needs a new offensive coordinator, and Kiffin gets the gig. It's a step down from head coaching, but it is a chance to stay in the sport, working for head coach Nick Saban.
This ends up being a really pivotal time for Lane Kiffin, but also for Nick Saban, who begins to gain this reputation, especially when Lane Kiffin is there, about rehabilitating coaches' reputations. And there's no better example of this, honestly, than Lane Kiffin, because again, he's got this reputation of these spectacularly embarrassing exits when he's been fired. He has been labeled immature, and he goes under Nick Saban. He revolutionizes this offense, and he just completely rehabilitated his image. And more people were interested in, you know, potentially giving him a head coaching spot.
In late 2016, Kiffin accepted an offer for a head coaching position at Florida Atlantic University. But Alabama still had the playoffs.
So Lane Kiffin gets the job at Florida Atlantic while he is still the offensive coordinator at Alabama. And typically, we have seen coaches manage this, right? They take the new job, they make some recruiting calls, they start to set up their staff, but they're able to finish the season with the school that they started with. And most coaches manage it just fine. Maybe they're sleep deprived or exhausted, whatever it is. Lane Kiffin gets to the point where he is doing interviews, he's buying a house in Boca Raton, he brings a reporter along. He says a lot of things about working with Nick Saban, how difficult it is. And Nick decides this is enough, you know, you're too distracted, and cuts him loose during the college football playoff and says, go be the head coach at FAU. So again, another exit that is just not as smooth as it could have been.
Time to add another one to the tally. We are at 4 messy departures in a row now. But moving to FAU meant a return to head coaching, and it made a great springboard back to the upper echelons of college football. 3 years later, Kiffin would make a return to the top tier when Ole Miss, a somewhat embattled but promising program, offered Kiffin a head coaching job.
It was awesome just to see the excitement of the people.
That's the sound of Lane Kiffin getting off a private jet to the cheers of Ole Miss fans as he arrives in town for the first time as head coach. But 6 years later, Kiffin would find himself back at the same airport, facing a much different crowd. That's after the break. The University of Mississippi has a storied football program and a deeply devoted fan base.
There's a rich history that Ole Miss football brings with it.
For each home game, fans flock to an area known as the Grove, where they roll out elaborate buffets and coolers overflowing with beer. And to add an unusual touch, Ole Miss fans hang chandeliers in their temporary tailgating tents. Historically, the team has had a lot of success, with heavy emphasis on historically. They've won 6 conference titles, with the most recent one occurring about 2 months after the Cuban Missile Crisis. In the following decades, the team struggled to repeat that success. But in 2014, they played their best season in decades, under the leadership of head coach Hugh Freeze.
One thing that's missing in our society is courage.
2015 was even better.
They're willing to stand up and fight for what they want and believe in.
But then the tide turned as Freeze was embroiled in scandal.
More details have come to light in the wake of Hugh Freeze's unceremonious exit from Ole Miss. The former head football coach resigned last month in part because of a January 19th phone call to an escort.
Freeze resigned as Ole Miss head coach in 2017 after it came to light he had used a university cell phone to place multiple calls to escort services. The situation was made worse when it was revealed that Freeze and his predecessor had broken NCAA rules around recruitment and academic standards. After a 2-year investigation, Ole Miss received sanctions similar to USC's earlier. By 2019, Ole Miss had lost a lot of the momentum it had regained under Freeze, disappointing fans.
So Ole Miss is still kind of coming out of its scandal and the end of the Hugh Freeze era. You have kind of a stopgap with Matt Luke as the head coach, and at least the program regains a little bit of stability. It's not winning a lot. He finishes 15-21, so he's under 500. But you're a few years out from the scandal, and you're just looking for a jolt.
And a few miles east of the Ole Miss campus was Florida Atlantic University, where head coach Lane Kiffin was breaking school records with his team. And in late 2019, Ole Miss announced they had secured Lane Kiffin as their next head coach. Ole Miss fans were thrilled. He landed late at night in Oxford, Mississippi, and was greeted by cheering fans, including one who asked him to hold his baby. A reporter asked Kiffin about this at a press conference.
Do it, buddy.
Do you ever think you'd be kissing and hugging babies at the tarmac when you go out the plane?
A lot better than another tarmac experience that I had.
So now let's talk about his years at Ole Miss. It seems like, as is usual for Lane Kiffin, there is pretty immediately visible success. Within the first 2 years, they're breaking school records. How did that partnership shake out in the first couple of years?
Like his previous stops, I mean, Lane Kiffin wins pretty early on. And you're seeing, you know, levels of success that Ole Miss has not seen in a long time. You're seeing them reaching almost that top tier in the SEC, which would put you among the top teams in the country. But like, they're knocking on that door. Like, they're all in, they're committing.
For the first time since the Hugh Freeze era, Ole Miss had serious momentum and a chance to reclaim their historic titles. The 2022 season started strong, but rumors surfaced that Kiffin was in talks for a coaching job at Auburn University.
He has this opportunity to leave for Auburn in 2022, and famously his daughter, Landry, convinces him to stay. She says she makes a slideshow with her friends and a collage and is basically like, you know, we need to stay here in Oxford. And Kiffin said like he wasn't sure if he was going to leave or not, but that helped him make the decision to stay in Oxford. And he leans into that, like that this is a great place for him and his family. He gets super into hot yoga. He's talking about how like he's had this healthier lifestyle and it's just the right place for him and for his family. And they've embraced him. He's embraced them. And it's this really special place to him.
To sweeten the deal, Ole Miss gave Kiffin a pay raise to the tune of roughly $1 million. But an uninspiring end to the 2022 season, which included a blowout loss to their rival, LSU, was blamed at least partly on him being distracted. In 2023, Lane Kiffin's Ole Miss bounced back, and they were given a chance to redeem themselves against LSU. The game breaks attendance records.
With 46 seconds left in the game, pitch near side to Harris.
Takes left, goes right, breaks in the clear.
He's in the end zone!
By 2025, Ole Miss had established itself as a serious title contender and a dominant team in college football's most dominant conference.
Ole Miss starts the 2025 season by winning a lot of games, and they beat LSU in late September. They just start to kind of piece this all together, but they're just moving through their schedule, and the offense is putting up huge, huge numbers. Kwon Lacy on the ground, Trinidad Chambliss in the air. By early November, though, there are multiple SEC jobs open. So LSU has fired Brian Kelly, Florida has fired Billy Napier, and the Auburn job has opened because they fired Hugh Freeze, all basically by Halloween weekend. That's really early in college football to have open jobs. So these three schools make their moves. This is also about a month after Arkansas has fired Sam Pittman. So a quarter of the jobs in the SEC are unfilled right now. And you've still got a whole month of the regular season left to go. So it turns into the Lane Kiffin sweepstakes. And it feels like Florida fans, LSU fans, and Auburn fans are all convinced that they're going to land Lane Kiffin. Ole Miss fans are convinced that he's not going anywhere.
As rumors of a possible move build, Ole Miss fans make clear they want him to stay. In a game against the Florida Gators, Ole Miss fans can be heard chanting, "We want Lane."
And we all start making jokes like, how many places can Lane Kiffin coach next year, right? Like, everybody wants him. He is the number one name in the coaching carousel. This totally overshadows the final month of the season for Ole Miss.
The chatter reaches a fever pitch by late November, just after Thanksgiving, when Ole Miss is set to play their in-state rival in the Egg Bowl.
They're playing Mississippi State. They're going for, you know, an 11-1 season. They're about to lock up a spot in the college football playoff. And all anyone wants to know is if Lane Kiffin is going to leave and when he would leave. Ole Miss officials give him a deadline to make a decision that weekend. And by the end of the Egg Bowl and that Thanksgiving Day, Black Friday, into the weekend, it becomes pretty clear that LSU is the front runner. So it's either going to be LSU or staying at Ole Miss.
The day after the Egg Bowl, with a playoff spot locked in for the first time in school history, Lane Kiffin announced in a tweet that he'd be departing Ole Miss for rival LSU, effective immediately.
Now, this is a place in Oxford, Mississippi that he said he's needed. It's a really important place to him. It's an important place to his family. And like it really helped him unlock something in himself and become a better person. And they are furious. And there are fans that come to the airport with signs and chants, and they're screaming things at him. And it just becomes an incredibly ugly departure.
Later that same day, Lane Kiffin boarded a jet to leave Oxford, Mississippi. It was a perfect mirror image of the day he landed 6 years earlier. Ole Miss fans were there, but the tone was the exact opposite. More meaningful than the reaction of fans, though, is what Kiffin's decision meant to his former team.
What does this mean for the players? What is this like to play at Ole Miss at the time?
So the players talk a lot leading into the Egg Bowl about how, you know, they're focused on the game and they're going to put out their best effort. They say all the right things in the media. But after they see a statement from Lane Kiffin and some of his public comments after he leaves Oxford to go to Baton Rouge, they start taking issues with it. Because I think if you're a player at Ole Miss, there's only one real way to read what he decided to do. Your goal as a head coach is to win national championships. If you think you're going to make the playoff and then lose in the first round or the second round, then you leave. So if you're an Ole Miss player, you can't help but take that as, oh, he didn't think they were good enough to actually win four games and hoist a trophy. Can't help but take that as, oh, he didn't think this team could actually win it.
The 2025 college football playoffs began for Ole Miss with what can only really be read as an insult from their former head coach, Lane Kiffin.
As somebody who reports on college sports and you're watching them play these games, I got to imagine the suspense was pretty incredible. So many people are rooting for this team that has this historic opportunity and these players to sort of avenge the insult that has been bestowed upon them by their former head coach who's departed for a rival. What was it like watching these games, watching this playoff run?
It was pretty incredible to watch the Ole Miss team. And they clearly rallied together. Like, I'm not sure they win the games that they win the way that they win them without Lane Kiffin leaving. And it just feels like so much of that is a little bit of an us against the world, which is really us against Lane Kiffin, believing that we couldn't do this.
But it was soon revealed that one way LSU lured Lane Kiffin away at the time that they did was by offering special bonuses.
Lane Kiffin has this massive deal. And not only is there a ton of guaranteed money in this contract and the way that it's structured for him as the LSU head coach, LSU is even going to pay him bonuses for games that Ole Miss wins. Now, it's normal for a coach to have bonuses and benchmarks for their own success. It's not normal to pay someone for success of a team that they just left, that they are not coaching.
So just to be clear, each round of the college playoffs often comes with a bonus for the head coach. In the case of Lane Kiffin, he'd make $150,000 just for making it to the playoffs. Add another $100,000 for making it to the quarterfinals, and then another $750,000 for winning the championship, totaling $1 million. And LSU had agreed to basically reimburse Lane Kiffin for the money he would have made if he were still coaching at Ole Miss. He would be financially rewarded for the success of the team he had just abandoned. In the first round, Ole Miss got a lucky draw, facing a severely outmatched Tulane team, one which they'd already beaten by 5 touchdowns earlier in the regular season. But next, they faced Georgia, a title favorite.
Georgia had been playing so well over the final month of the season. They were a popular pick to win a national championship for people who were filling out brackets.
By the fourth quarter, Ole Miss is down 24-19.
And Ole Miss comes back in this game.
Landon rolled in. They're going to try to run some trick.
They're down. They get stops when they need to.
The game is over!
And it sort of felt at that point that they were a little bit of a team of destiny.
With a stunning quarterfinals victory against Georgia, Ole Miss faced off against Miami in the semifinals. With just 24 seconds left in the fourth quarter, Ole Miss was up 27-24.
With his legs, puts Miami on top. What a
but Miami scored a late touchdown and left Ole Miss with little time to strike back. Its season ended with an incomplete Hail Mary pass.
What was it like covering this playoff run?
It ends up being a little bit frustrating to cover because so much of the Ole Miss season is overshadowed by Lane Kiffin. So it was frustrating from that standpoint that it continued to overshadow this incredible story and this run by the Ole Miss team, but also that he wanted to portray himself as a victim throughout all of it. He kept insisting that the team wanted him to coach them through the postseason. Most people thought that, you know, you make a decision to take another job, you don't get to finish what you started. The easiest way to guarantee that you were coaching Ole Miss in the postseason would be to stay as the head coach at Ole Miss. That was my stance on it throughout. I do think Lane Kiffin wanted to be liked and be, you know, kind of respected for what he did at Ole Miss. Like, I don't think he wanted it to end in a really toxic manner, but it did. And I think that was very difficult for him. He's welcomed, you know, by adoring fans at LSU because they won the sweepstakes. They got the big fish in this coaching carousel. But I think it hurt him that Oxford reacted the way it did when he left and that he couldn't coach that team. But it was really ultimately because of how he handled it. And there just wasn't a lot of self-awareness in that as he was experiencing it. I think he wanted people to feel bad for him for not getting to do both things at the same time.
Looking ahead, what does this mean for Ole Miss? What does this mean for LSU? And what do you predict for the teams and for the sport for next season?
It'll be really interesting to see where Ole Miss goes from here. They shouldn't really drop off much. I mean, there's always a path for Ole Miss. The goal at LSU is to win national championships. That's why coaches take this job. That's the standard. Anything less than that is failure for Lane Kiffin, and expectations will be sky high for this team. They absolutely have to make the college football playoff at a minimum, but they need to be competing for national championships very soon. We're all going to be watching. I mean, LSU is going to be must-see TV because it's Lane Kiffin, because it's LSU, because it was such a messy exit to leave Oxford. And we're going to see if it was all worth it.
If you've got a story idea, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email at campusfilespod@gmail.com. And if you're loving this podcast, be sure to click follow on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. While you're there, leave us a review and a 5-star rating. Campus Files is an Odyssey original podcast hosted by Margot Gray and Ian Mont. Our executive producers are Leah Reese Dennis and Lloyd Lockridge. Campus Files is produced by Ian Mont and Margot Gray. Sound design and engineering by Andy Jaskowitz and Zach Clark. Legal support by Laura Berman and Melissa Jean. Original music by Davey Sumner. Special thanks to Maura Curran, Josephina Francis, Hilary Schuff, Eric Donnelly, Kate Hutchison-Rose, Sean Cherry, Kurt Courtney, and Lauren Vieira.